You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Stay connected to the Cleveland Browns with all the latest news, photos, videos, and more. Visit ClevelandBrowns.com. Download our mobile app. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Browns and on Instagram at Official Browns. Going to the hotline now to get a Kansas City perspective on the Browns' Week 8 showdown at Arrowhead against the Chiefs. Sam Mellinger from the Kansas City Star joining us now on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Sam, welcome to the show. Obviously, the big news in Cleveland is the announcement that Jason Campbell will start over Brandon Whedon. Is that sending a lot of ripples through the city of Kansas City?
I think people in Kansas City have gotten pretty confident pretty quickly after how terrible they were last year. But I think people in Kansas City are feeling confident for this Sunday, I think.
Yeah, Sam, that would be understandable. And as you look at it, and you know the career body of work for Jason Campbell, 9 years, yeah. Few teams before this one that he's played for. So as you look at it, what is your thought on this pass rush that the Chiefs have and what they've really come upon with the wide set that they have on the outside linebackers, the way they just tear after the quarterback? And we see this guy as having the ability to move, but not the quickest of deliveries.
Yeah, well, you know, Jason Campbell, as I'm sure you guys have noted, won his last start in Arrowhead. But anyway, the pass rush for the Chiefs, it's been engulfing. I mean, it's been overwhelming at times. And it's crazy that they're doing this almost exclusively with guys that were on the roster last year when the Chiefs couldn't get to the quarterback at all. But they're very aggressive. They're very aggressive. You'll see some blitzes that just don't look like a lot of other teams do. They'll overload one side. They disguise kind of what they're doing really well. And then, you know, I think the most important part is they just have really talented people coming at you. You know, I think Justin Houston is an emerging star. Tom Holley has, you know, stacked good seasons on top of each other. It's just absolutely relentless, you know, pursuing the quarterback. And then Dontari Poe is probably the biggest difference of the guys that were on the roster last year. I mean, it's night and day with him. You know, you saw flashes of him, you know, being able to collapse the pocket, you know, as the nose tackle in that 3-4 front, but not a lot of them. And this year you're seeing, you know, just a consistent overpowering of the opposing center, you know, a combination of some quickness and strength that you just don't see a lot of places. And I know Cleveland's got a good offensive line, particularly, you know, the center, left guard, left tackle, but, you know, Dontari Poe is, you know, one of the better nose tackles that you'll see in the NFL, I think.
And this defense leading the league in sacks. They are leading the league in third down percentage. They have just been so unbelievably tough. But on the offensive side of the ball, Jamaal Charles, it seems like he has taken like a fish to water in this Andy Reid offense. He's had at least 100 total yards and a touchdown in every single game this year. How good has Jamaal Charles been, and how impressed are you with what he's been able to do in this new offense?
Yeah, he's incredible. And, you know, he's another one of these guys. It was so weird watching this team last year go 2-14 with, you know, these players that you just knew were really good. But, you know, Jamaal was one of them. And he's been, you know, really for the last 3 or 4 years, except for, you know, there was one season where he tore his ACL in the second game. But, you know, really in the last 3 or 4 years, he's been one of the better running backs in the NFL. But he's sort of taken more of a, you know, before it was more of, you know, to use the cliche, before it was more of like the lightning, and this year I think he's been more of the thunder, if that makes sense. You know, I mean, mm-hmm. He hasn't really broken a long play. You know, that was kind of his signature before. You know, every once in a while you just knew that an 84-yard run was going to come at some point, something like that.
And Sam Mellinger, I'm sorry. He's a columnist for the Kansas City Star, and he is joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. So, Sam, 2-14 last year, this Chiefs team, amazing turnaround to say the least. Andy Reid comes in there as a head coach, bringing all that experience that he had from Philadelphia, turning that program around. Just describe for us that impact. What has Reid done as best you can break it down to turn this team around?
Yeah, I mean, part of it has been that it's just not Romeo Crennel and Scott Pioli, honestly. And I know that Cleveland has some experience with both those guys, but there's more of a cohesion. There's more of a, you know, just a feeling that everybody's on the same page. I mean, last year there was a lot of, you know, kind of looking over shoulders. There's stories of assistant coaches getting into shoving matches during practice. And there's just, it was kind of a broken atmosphere. And, you know, ever since they cut the cord and kind of, you know, had this new leadership team in place, there's more of a feeling of, you know, we're all in this together. And also, you know, when Andy Reid walks in and, you know, he doesn't have the Super Bowl championship, but he does have a lot of success on that resume. He's won a lot of games. You last 14 years in Philadelphia, you know, you're doing something right. So there's, you know, he's also been aided by, you know, sort of that instant credibility that you walk into the locker room with.
Yeah, and it's speaking of Andy Reid bringing some credibility, Alex Smith has as well. Now, his stats certainly do not jump off the page at you, just 6.3 yards per attempt, only 7 passing touchdowns, none in the last 3 games. But what has he done and what has he brought to this team that has helped them get to 7-0?
Yeah, I mean, Alex is a really, really smart guy. You know, not just like sometimes there's football smart, you know, and Alex is brilliant. I mean, it's an Ivy League brain. If he wasn't good at football, he was going to go to an Ivy League school, actually, out of high school. And so he's, you know, there's a leadership quality there that, you know, guys believe in him. He makes the right decisions. He's not, you know, he doesn't have the strongest arm. He's a really good athlete. He's not, you know, a terrific, you know, off the charts kind of athlete, but he's a very good athlete, can extend some plays, buy a little extra time. And, you know, the biggest on-field thing, though, that you see is just the decisions. He makes good decision after good decision. And sometimes the execution isn't there. He missed a touchdown pass, for instance, in this last game against the Texans. But the decisions are, you know, almost flawless, or at least as good as they can be in the chaos of an NFL game.
Are the fans, as they look at this team at 7-0, and they remember what 2-14 was like, and they remember a lot of disappointment there, are they fully bought in? And I know the answer, part of this answer, well, okay, they just set a record for crowd noise. It's always been a tough place to play at Arrowhead, even if they weren't off to this kind of start. But do you sense that people feel it has genuine traction?
Yeah, I mean, you're right. There's always been a huge following for the Chiefs here in Kansas City. And, that was broken last year in a really bizarre way that I'm just not sure how many times there's been a fan base that is that passionate and supportive that just turned and actively hated a team, like was going on last year. But it's flipped back, and flipped really fast. And, you know, I think people are completely bought in just, if you look at it on the level of just supporting the team and being excited about it. I don't think that people here are completely bought in that this is the best team in the NFL, which, you know, by record they are, I guess, but, you know, I mean, people here are smart enough to see the offense struggling to get up and down the field at times. And, you know, I always say Kansas City fans have come to expect a monster around every corner because, you know, so far for the last generation, there's always been that monster around every corner. And the Chiefs have had some good teams. They've lost 4 playoff games in Arrowhead since the last time they won one, which is now 20 years ago. So, you know, there's always going to be this little hesitation. But just as far as excitement, I mean, people are, you know, out of their minds excited about the team.
As well they should be. They've also had some good luck. This will be the 3rd backup quarterback they faced in their last 4 games. So that's a pretty good – it's worked out pretty well for them in the schedule. Let me talk – we've talked about Haleh and Houston, the pass rush. The back end of this defense playing very well also. Eric Berry's having a great season. Sean Smith seems to have been a very nice addition to this team. Brandon Flowers, when healthy, has played well also. How good is this secondary and how good can they be? And is the secondary helping the pass rush helping the secondary, or a little bit of both?
It's definitely both. I mean, I would say that the pass rush is helping the secondary more than vice versa, but they definitely are working, you know, sort of in cohesion, and that's all part of the plan. There's a lot of press coverage from the corners, and you know, which is, you know, forcing even more, you know, sort of shaky passes. If you watch the Raiders game, I mean, Terrell Pryor played really well on a lot of levels, but then, you know, they forced those, you know, three or four or five really terrible decisions and really take advantage of that. One guy that I don't think you mentioned there is Marcus Cooper, who's been, you know, phenomenal. They picked him off of waivers right before the season from San Francisco, and, you know, he's really been their first or second best cornerback. It's been pretty incredible. He just switched from receiver to cornerback his last year at Rutgers, so he's very new to the position, but, you know, physically gifted guy that's really helping them. I mean, you know, I think ideally, and some of this is with the Broncos in mind, they haven't said that, but I'm just convinced this is the truth that, you know, Sean Smith and Marcus Cooper, two kind of strong, long, physically tough cornerbacks on the outside, and then Brandon Flowers, I think they want to put on the slot to cover Welker. So, you know, but yeah, the secondary, they put a lot on them, and they've certainly risen to the challenge, but I think that they are aided a lot by that pass rush.
All right. Well, Sam, great breakdown. We appreciate it very much, and we look forward to I'll see you on Sunday in Arrowhead.
Yep. Thanks for having me.
All right.
Thank you.
Sam Mellinger, check out his great work at the Kansas City Star website. He is a fine columnist for that newspaper, giving us the lowdown on the Kansas City Chiefs. We're going to get more lowdown on the Browns quarterback situation when Gerard Cherry joins us in his regular visit to this show. Vic Carucci, Nathan Zagura, want to hear from you too. 216-578-0850. There's time to get some calls in and tweets at Browns _ daily on ESPN 850 WKNR. If you ever feel-